You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Glad you could join us. Welcome back. Thanks to Sheila Zielinski for being our first hour guest. Really terrific stuff. I want to thank Sheila for coming on and talking to us about end times prophecy. And are we there? Gosh, I hope not. I really wanted to kick that can down the road, but Sheila kind of has me convinced, along with Steve Quayle, that we probably are pretty close. Anyway, this hour is brought to you by a number of just great people. Let me remind everybody of the conference. It's taking place in Branson in September. And it's over 80% sold out, so please, please don't put it off. I don't want to see anyone be left out. I want to meet all of you. Simply go to thecommonsenseshow.com and click on the banner ad for the conference in Branson on transhumanism, and you can register right there. We're also brought to you by preparewithdave.com. We were selling storable food, 6 months, 2-year increments, and we found a lot of people really couldn't afford that, and I appreciate that. So we went back to our manufacturer and said, hey, look, can we go ahead and maybe lessen the amount? And by the way, can we give a special too? And they said, yeah, let's try it. So what we did is we went to a 4-week increment. You can buy 2 at a time per day. And if you want to keep coming back, that's fine. But we wanted to make it affordable and 4 weeks, because 4 weeks will get you through most crises. And in the 4 weeks time, it was selling that, well, the food, the 4-week supply was selling for, what, $250? Now it's $99. That's just for us. It's just for the Common Sense Show audience. And how do you go there? Well, type preparewithdave.com into the URL. No coupon code needed. You're right there, and you're really, really good to go. And then finally, we're brought to you by Health Masters. Health Masters, you've heard me talk about them. I go there well before I go to the doctor. Why? Because I have a ruptured disc in my back, no surgery, no rehab because of Dr. Ted Brewer. I had torn meniscus in my knee 4 years ago, same deal. And then you've heard the Hagmans talk about and rave about Health Masters. So go to healthmasters.com. There's something there for everybody, as well as good maintenance with vitamins. Healthmasters.com. And the coupon code for 5% off is 5COMMON. Well, this hour we have a very, very special guest, and he certainly is no stranger to our audience. We've known each other now for a number of years, and I greatly respect his opinion. I call him King Prepper, because anything that you need from Bob Griswold to get ready for what's coming, he has it. And he's one of the few guys I know. In fact, he really is the only guy I know that if you have questions on your own individual prepping, he'll help you select the right level of entry, and he'll spend some time with you talking to you about where you need to start. It's just great stuff. So readymaderesources.com is Bob's website. We'll get into that a little bit more, but I asked him to come on, and we're going to talk about some psychological factors tonight. The psychological factors that really prevent people from waking up. Bob, glad you could join us. Welcome to the show.
You know, Dave, now I'm torn. You know, I would, the biblical prophecy thing, I mean, you pushed a button when you said that, okay? You know, I've studied eschatology, and that's the study of end times, end things, for the last 30 years. I've looked at it extensively, and it's not been just a surface gleaning of it. I think I've done some pretty deep research. In fact, going back and reading They called them the anti-Nicene fathers. That was before the Council of Nicene in the year right around 300, when they canonized a lot of scripture and came up with a lot of the church doctrine. But you read about the early church fathers and what they had said about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ at his second advent. And I'm telling you, Dave, you would think you're reading today's newspaper. I mean, just a few things. I mean, you know, wars. The Bible said there'd be a proliferation of wars and rumors of war. When you look, in the last century, more people were killed in war than all of human history. I mean, just that one thing, famine. You know, we have had massive famines. I mean, just in the 19th century, I mean, 20th century, you had the famine in the Ukraine where 20 million people died. The famine has been something that has plagued us, but it has grown exponentially. Plague. You know, you've had people on, Dave, that have talked about these new plagues that humanity has designed. There's a book called Germs by Judith Miller, and she did some investigation, and they have developed, you know, like smallpox, its normal kill rate is about 40%. They have built something called blackpox. Its death rate is like 95%. That's a man-made disease, and they're making these new man-made diseases all the time. And if any of these plagues ever come out, it is going to be just millions, millions dead. I mean, Bill Gates just the other day was talking about 30 million people dying. Mm-hmm. Gee, how convenient. I mean, you know, the Bible says in Daniel that there would be, in the end of the age, an explosion of knowledge and travel. Well, I mean, how was it? Every 18 months, humanity's knowledge is doubling right now. Our ability to travel the planet it keeps getting smaller and smaller as the methods of travel become better and better. You know, I think today with the founding of the capital of Israel in Jerusalem, I'm not sure how all that plays out, but I think it is extremely biblically significant. Racial violence. The Bible in Matthew says that at the end of the age there would be extreme racial violence. You look at it today, and just it does seem that is growing. You know, our former President Barack Obama did everything they could. In fact, that whole part of our government did everything they could to make sure everybody hates everybody else if you're slightest different than that. We hated people for the religion. We hate people because of the difference in our color, difference in politics. You know, Dave, I was reading Samuel Culper. He was a former U.S. Army intelligence reporter guy, and he wrote an article, What Will the Next Civil War Look Like? I know Steve Quayle posted it up on his site, and it talks about how everything it aligns with what 1860 looked like in America, and yet there's some major differences. In 1860 America, we were a monolithic culture. We had the same language, we had the same religion, we had the same basic philosophy of life, we had the same heritage, and we killed each other in unbelievable rates. 500,000 people were murdered, and that was with muskets and old-fashioned cannons. You know, today in America, if this civil war breaks out, we no longer have a monolithic culture. We have a plethora of religions that are all hostile towards one another. We have different cultures that are hostile towards one another. We have Sharia law versus constitutional law. We have so many differences that will make the violence we see much worse than what was seen in 1860. Sherman's march through Atlanta was considered for 100 years the most brutal thing, you know, had ever happened in America. And yet that is going to look like a cakewalk compared to the violence that's coming. I do not think most Americans are aware or are mentally prepared for the level of violence that we're going to see. You know, 15 years ago or something in Knoxville, there was this crime committed, and it was, you know, it had racial elements to it, and it was the two young white kids, a boy and a girl, and they were abducted by some black guys and a girl, and they were absolutely brutally, and I mean brutally, murdered and tortured days before they were killed. and the testimony came out, and it was racially, you know, it was racially driven. They wanted to make them suffer because they were white. Now, that's not a black do it, and whites don't. Everybody does it. I mean, there's the James Byrd towing. They towed a black guy behind the car just because he was black.
Yeah.
But you see this today, you know, this hatred of people just based on color of skin, which, I mean, it is the most illogical thing to do that. And yet it's the easiest thing to promote. So what are the politicians promote? Dave, I can't look at you and see that you're a Republican or a Democrat. I can't look at you and tell whether you might even be a Muslim. I can't tell. But I can look at you and see that you're white. And that's what these people play on. They play on that. They know that's the easiest way to make people hate each other is with color. And you look at what they're doing to try to promote hatred just based on that one thing. And they're actually getting pretty successful at doing it. I think some people are figuring it out, you know, but it will be used, and it will be used catastrophically against a lot of people, and they will not be ready for the level of violence. If you study, all you have to do is just study violence during times of war. I mean, you look what happened when the Russians went into Berlin at the end of World War II. I mean, it was brutal. Up to 2 million women were raped. You look at what's going on down in Venezuela right now, the level of violence there. Anywhere where you have deprivation, you're going to see this violence, and again, on a level that we cannot imagine. And on top of that, Dave, we have a population that has been conditioned through video games and movies. I mean, you know, I don't know how many people have seen the movie John Wick, but it is a movie that is just absolute graphic, upfront, gratuitous violence. You know, and it's cool. It's cool. John Wick just, I mean, he shot that guy right in the eyeball. I mean, it's cool. I mean, that's what's being promoted. And we watch this, we play these video games, and it's desensitizing us towards life. On top of that, you throw in the fact that we are a nation without a conscience because we have murdered 60 million children and nobody even thinks about it. The blood of those children today, what, 4,000 children today in America, that blood ran through America's sewers. It contaminated, it polluted the ground. And again, the Bible talks about blood guiltness. It's called unrequited blood. That blood has not been answered for. Nobody's been punished for it. And it builds up and builds up and builds up. And finally, you know, God sends a judgment on a nation for this. And, you know, in America today, the most of the religious crowd would be going, what happened? God bless America. We're the greatest nation on the earth. We do everything right. And they will fail to see it coming. They will fail to prepare for it, and they will suffer a horrible consequence. You know, Dave, we've talked about that book, and again, you just go read any history. I consider myself, and I know, isn't history one of your majors? Was it history?
Yeah, I had a major in history and psychology and sociology. I did all three. Focused on psych in my advanced degrees, but yeah, you're right. So I am a history buff.
So when people, if you study the history of conflict, I mean, even from a small event, and I say small event nationally, like New Orleans when the hurricane went through there, up to an event like World War II where the whole nation of Europe had been bombed out, you see certain traits. And today in America, when the music stops and the only music, I'll put it that way, that is playing in the United States today is the flow of dollars. As I said earlier, we no longer are a common united people. Even the Christian church is pretty darn selfish. I mean, it's all about myself. I don't want to go to that church anymore because it doesn't meet my needs. Well, God never told you to go to church because it met your needs. He called you to go to church to worship him and to minister to others, kind of. So it's this extreme selfish thing that has developed in America. And when the dollar music stops, I mean, Dave, you've studied it. You have a population that has been saturated with violence. You have a population that has been saturated with pornography. You have a population that has been saturated with entertainment and narcissistic views of selfies like, I'm the most important person in the world. You've studied that. What is that a recipe for? When the mind drugs stop, when the dollars stop, I mean, is it pretty much science of what's going to happen?
Well, the thing is when someone's world paradigm changes and they don't have the maturity, resilience, and cognitive ability to adjust to changing circumstances, they tend to lash out violently and they look for scapegoats. And this is why I think, you know, racially, you know, we're at each other's throat.
Because the easiest thing.
Yeah, the easiest thing to identify is someone's skin color, exactly.
It is, and that's what the left, that's what the communists, the socialists, whatever you want to call them, the Democratic Party, whatever you want to call them, even the Republican Party. I mean, you got John McCain who's a Democrat, and you know, that's the easiest thing to promote. You know, I do have some really good friends, and we're, you know, he's black and I'm white guy, and we talk about this a lot, and how easy it is, and I want to hear what he has to see from his perspective, and he wants to hear what I have to say from my perspective, and it boils down to a lot of times misconceptions about what they've heard in the news media, what has been told to us all of our lives, and it's indoctrinated in us because it is the easiest thing for us to generate bias, bigotry and hate over, and the left knows this. In any communist movement, any socialist movement, when they take over a country, hate is the fuel that makes it happen. You cannot have, you know, me and my black brethren and my Asian brothers getting together singing Kumbaya for real, that we really do look at each other with brotherly love and start a revolution very easy. It's very difficult to do that. No, they need me hating those people. And those people, because when I hate those people, then I don't, the government is free to start moving around and manipulating and doing what they want without being noticed or identified. And I think we see that today. You know, for those, I know you were talking to Paul Martin last night, you were talking about, you know, cognitive dissidence or normalcy bias, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I just wrote down a few things, Dave, about this God Bless America and this paradigm we have of the, you know, of what America is. What America was, yes, but I mean, just think of this. In the last election, it showed that half of Americans hated the other half, and they were willing to commit violence to do it. We have an absolute catastrophic opium addiction going on. We have people that are just these benzodiazepines that are the mind-altering, like Valium-type drugs that are just America is the world's largest consumer of. Again, we are entertained to death with violence. It's no difference between doing that and what the Romans did. In fact, I was reading some stories of the Roman Colosseums. If you were a Roman in that day and you went into the Colosseum and watched it once, watched that bloodletting and that blood violence one time, they said it had such an addictive nature on it, you could not go away from it. It was addictive. You wanted to see it, the people getting their arms and legs ripped off by lions or whatever they did. You wanted to go back and see it. It became addictive. You had to have it. And this next statistic, you know, the fact that our families are terribly broken in America, you know, I've mentioned this statistic before here, that only 30% of young men in America are raised by their biological father. That one fact alone is nation-ending. We have debt that is, I mean, we can't even comprehend the debt. It's just, it becomes absolutely a farce to even try to make any sense of it or to even think there's any type of budget or any common sense being used in the way they spend money. It is so far gone. And there's no, again, since what Brentwood, there's nothing backing it. It's the good faith of the United States. Well, once you lose the faith in that paper, that is the music. That's the music that's holding us together. And you got to imagine there's 1,000 chairs, or there's 1,000 people for one chair. Imagine that scenario when the music stops. Again, you know, our churches have sold out. They're preaching the gospel of the state. We have politicians that go to Washington, you know, with average income and come out richer than Midas. We've seen an Islamic invasion. Our food has been destroyed in this country. Our medical industry has been destroyed. It's been sold out to sell, you know, stuff that doesn't cure us and stuff that doesn't feed us. We see a growth of the Luciferian movement, a growth of pedophilia. The president has, through NDAA, has the ability to kill you. And not doing it, and nobody can do anything about it. They call it a national security thing. I hope that stirred some normalcy bias. I mean, when I look at that, Dave, I think we are at the end. I mean, I don't know. I might be. I could be wrong. But I look at that and I say, the nation is swirling the bottom of the drain.
Well, I think that normalcy bias cuts both ways. I think the globalists also have normalcy bias. Remember what I said? When your paradigm fails, you lash out. And
yes,
they're going to lash out between now and the midterm elections. And if they don't think the blue wave is going to be successful, I really believe that what we are looking at is we're going to see massive false flags between now and November if the deep state doesn't feel the Democrats can win.
You know, Dave, you said you need a month's worth of food. I think that's normalcy bias. Excuse me. I don't mean to insult you, and I don't mean it to be that. I think you need a lot more than a month. I do. I mean, I just think you need a lot more than a month's worth of food. And you better look at the caloric count. I mean, you know, 1,500 calories a day will do you good if I'm sitting at a desk pushing paper. If I'm out having to garden and chop wood and maybe do security and other things that are physically, you know, taxing, you better figure on 3,000 calories a day. It's going to do it. And, you know, if you don't eat right, your body's going to get weak. It's going to be susceptible to disease, especially if there's been any kind of conflict at all. And how do I say this? If there's conflict on any kind of biblical scale at all, and you have a lot of, you know, let's just say things that have died, disease follows that as sure as one or two follows one. You know, you have disease. If you're weak because you haven't eaten correctly, you're going to face that. I hate to sound that dramatic. I wish somebody could come along and say, Griswold, you're crazy. Look at this. This doesn't mean anything. Okay, and I'd say, show me historically when a nation does all this stuff and it doesn't mean anything. Show me some cases. Prove me wrong. I mean, I'm 62. I want to live out my golden years. You know, get my Social Security and live out my golden years. But I think as I read this, I've talked to some pretty powerful people. They're all worried. I mean, TV stories of them building bunkers, and I know the gentleman who owns one of the largest bunker companies in the world. He builds them all over the world, and they are building bunkers for billionaires. I mean, they are afraid. They want their bunker. They have their exit plans. That when it all goes to hell, they have their way of getting out of here. Now, that's from a gentleman who builds them. I've actually been in some of those bunkers. I was actually in one of the bunkers that this rich individual was building, and I mean, it was, you'd never know it. It was a beautiful house on a hill on a big piece of property, and underneath there was 4,000 square feet of 2-foot thick concrete.
What was it 4,000. Like? Take us through. Walk us through. What did you see?
Oh, I mean, they had an exercising room. They had a medical triage room. They had an entertainment room. They had rooms for their bed sleeping. They had a full kitchen. They had a generator room. I mean, and Dave, the walls were 18 inches to 2 feet thick, and there was a 2-foot thick slab on top of it all. And then there was this very, very nice multi-million dollar house sitting on it all. You'd go inside, and it was sort of like a Old West Victorian house. Very, very, very finely appointed they were doing. The appointments in the house were going to be very, very fine. But underneath it all, and I came there because I had some expertise in an area because I was a former contractor, and I was looking at some things, and I made some suggestions to them. And, all this concrete was in there, and I was going, whoa, must be nice to have that kind of money. You know, it must be nice because, I mean, this was probably, I think that the budget for the bunker was $4 million.
Oh.
Just for the bunker.
Yeah. Well, what did they stock it with? What did you see?
Well, I was there before they stocked it. I was there during the construction phase, but the substantial part of the bunker part of the house had been built because that was the actual foundation they were going to build on top of it. You know, there was going to be the bunker, and then they were going to build stem wall around it, and they were going to fill it in with dirt and then build a house on top of it. So they'd have about 5 feet of dirt and 2 feet of concrete to protect them. So I was there as they were, you know, putting the house up, and so I got to go through the bunker And there have been some structural issues, and so we addressed some of those issues. But walking through it and seeing this massive concrete structure was like, gosh, you know, I mean, it must be nice to have $4 million laying around. You could build something like this. But again, this was a very, very wealthy family, and they were very concerned about what was going on. It was all going to be solar-powered with generators. So, and they were, and Dave, they were putting a little bit more than a month's worth of food in there. I mean,
yeah. Well, you know, Bob, let me go back to the four-week offer that you heard me talk about in the opening. First of all, it comes down to economics for a lot of people. Secondly,
I know that
most
pandemics
burn themselves out in 30 days, and most crises that don't erupt into a prolonged world war also burn themselves out in less than 30 days. That's why I chose the 30-day mark.
And that's a good point, but an EMP, a grid shutdown, you know, all you have to do is, it's open source information. It's not even that, but I do have some friends that work in those fields, and they've confirmed the fact that the Chinese and Russians have built undetectable cyber bombs in our electrical grid and all these other systems that run America, our welfare system, you know, the water system, the trains, all that, that's all on a computer. They're AI bombs in there. Artificial intelligent bombs, and when they can detonate them whenever they want to, and they're very difficult to detect because they're so good at devising these things, and so all one nation has to do is release one of these. They call them an AI bomb because it has elements of artificial intelligence to it that it can figure out. You're trying to kill me. I'm going to evolve. You know, I'm not going to let you kill me. And that's the virus in the computer thinking that. I'm not going to let you kill me. I'm going to evolve. I'm going to do this. And how it has the ability to infect. I mean, you know, that system right there, that could shut down the planet. That's more than a month. You know, a CME, that the 1859 Compton effect, that could shut down the planet. Me as a Christian person, I do see God, I mean, bringing judgment. When you look at the judgment that came upon Israel when they were finally conquered, I mean, Dave, I mean, women, can I say this? They ate their afterbirth. They were so hungry. That's in the Bible. You can read it in the Bible. I didn't make it up. It's in the Bible. That's how hungry they got. So I think, yes, if there's a low-level event, you know, 30 days is probably what we're looking at. But I do think that we are looking at more than that. And I would say that people that are building, and governments that are building multi-million dollar bunkers are not thinking 30 days. They're thinking a bit longer.
Well, and, of course they are. What does it cost to build a modest bunker under your home?
Well, there's a couple of them. If you could start at high, you know, $20,000. Very, 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 very modest bunker. Yeah, I mean, you have to have a way to filter air. I mean, you have to have a way to get your carbon dioxide out and fresh air in, so that has to be filtered. You know, depending if you're building it people resistant, you're going to have some pretty secure structure. You're going to have to be able to store food. You're going to have sleeping area. You're going to have ability to handle human waste. So, you know, that's what you're going to be looking at. I've actually been involved with building a few from start to finish. And, you know, you've got to address all those issues, and you've got to address the boredom issue. You got to have things in there that are going to keep people from going buggo. I mean, sitting in a, you know, 10 by 20 room for 30 days with five people in it,
Archives of the Common Sense Show. There you go.
Yeah, precisely. Let's listen to the good old days, like before it happened. That's what people are building. I mean, and so we see this happening. And then again, you know, the fact is that these 20-acre retreats are being sold and bought up around the world. The rich are buying massive land tracts where they think that there will not be in the southern hemisphere, away from where the possibility, if there was nuclear war, it would affect most of the northern hemisphere. The southern hemisphere would be a lot better off. And a lot of these old uber rich.
You got to be careful on that. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you a story, Bob. I think you'll appreciate this. There was a guy that lived in Montana, and I read this story, and it goes back to the 70s. And he was convinced that one day the Cold War would be a hot war between the Soviets and the U.S. And so he studied wind patterns and nuclear fallout patterns and so forth. And he concluded the best place to live was on these islands off the coast of Argentina, and he moved his family there. And within 6 months of being there, the Brits attacked and dropped bombs on his home, and he had family members killed.
Falkland Islands. Yeah.
Yeah. You can never predict.
You're true. But if you do look at the patterns from the 1950s nuclear testing, when they were testing all those nuclear bombs in the open atmosphere, you can follow the radiation patterns, and they basically stayed in the northern hemisphere. But again, there was a gentleman in around 1860, it's a matter of history, that said, I'm going to go, and I know there's war coming, I'm going to go in the middle of Pennsylvania countryside and buy a retreat away from everybody. It's right near Gettysburg.
Yeah.
You just have to trust God at some point and say, you know, this is, I'm going to do the best I can do, but that's what I'm going to do. And so I just want people, Dave, my wife and I pray a lot for our country and for people. I started Ready Made Resources. There's a lot of other things I have done and could do, but I started it with the passion that I do want to see people survive what is coming. I want the good people to survive it. And, you know, if the Lord comes back, then that's a happy ending. If the Lord is going to tarry and we have to go through it and rebuild, if the good people tarry and rebuild, that's a happy ending. If the good people don't survive it, and the globalists survive it, and they're the ones that make it through it, that's not a happy ending. That could be 1,000 years of dark ages. Prepping, what we do is a win-win situation. I mean, you know, if I prep and I go through the tribulation and make it through, and the Lord comes back, that is very, very good. And on the other hand, if the Lord tarried, and I prepped and made it through it, and we could carry the ideas of freedom and liberty and individualism and our faith through and pass those on to future generations, that's a good thing. But we have to prepare to do it. I mean, Noah did it, saved his family. Joseph did it, saved a nation. I mean, I don't think the Bible could paint better examples of people who did those, and the immense logistics involved in building an ark and stocking an ark and building grain silos in Egypt and storing that grain and protecting and guarding that grain and then managing it once the famine had hit. And, you know, he saved the nation. God has painted a picture of it right in front of our face, and both of them were acts of judgment. The ark was an act of judgment, and the famine was an act of judgment. And both those things that were going to be acts of judgment, God told people to store food and all the other things that we would need to store. Now, because some people, Dave, you heard them, I'm just going to have faith. Well, if you're just going to have faith, you'll buy food. If you're going to be ignorant and not have faith, you're just going to turn the TV on and, you know, say you can have faith, but you're not really having faith. Because faith has action. Faith does things. Faith builds arcs. Faith builds grain silos. Faith stores food. I mean, I'll say this, faith buys night vision. Faith buys communication equipment. Faith buys water filters. That's what faith does, because it's saying, I believe God's word. God is a holy God. And he judges sin, and he's warned us that this is a pattern that's going to happen until the end of the age, and he's given us examples of Noah and Joseph that when we see these things happening, the best thing we can do is build arks and build grain silos. And if we do that, we can save nations, we can save friends, we can save family, we can do all kinds of good stuff. I mean, but if we don't have those things, we're going to be in the government gruel line. Take your mark, please.
That's what they
want. Take it where? On my forehead my hand or my forehead? Which one? Oh, I'll choose the forehead. You know, that's your choice. Faith, I want to say that again. Faith builds arcs. Faith builds grain silos. That's what faith does. And I challenge anybody to contradict that using the scripture. That's what it does. And so, at the end of the day, you know, our message is one, and I think we agreed, is first of all, our message of faith. We have to return to God and his son and get our nation and lives right with him. Second is that we want to carry the ideas of freedom, and which are biblical values, freedom, you know, liberty, that each man is free to do what he sees fit in his own eyes, you know, as long as it doesn't involve and hurt his neighbor. We want those values. We want those passed on. And to do that, we have to have the tools and ability to promote those to our children, which, you know, another reason why I didn't even put on that list, the long list of why, you know, America's not great, is that we've had three generations of school children taught by Marxism. That is going to be very, very difficult to turn around. You can do it one, as you say, freeing one enslaved mind at a time, but there's millions and millions of little socialists out there that have been created when they've gone through the government indoctrination center. They've come out, they've gone in as sweet little innocent children, and they come out as just, you know, believing the world's perversion and lies. But at this point, Dave, with seeing all this stuff, and again, I'll be willing to let anybody call me on my 800 line, my dime, and say, Griswold, you're out to lunch. That those things don't mean anything. That, you know, we're going into good times. Everything's going to be fine. This is just hysteria, fear porn, whatever. And I'll listen to them, and I'll ask them, show me historic examples. I can show you dozens of historic examples of nations that have devalued their currency. Every nation that goes into collapse devalues its currency. I mean, I was just before the show, Dave, looking at 1980 prices, you know, gas 56 cents a gallon. an average income of a family, $17,600. An average cost of a house, $70,000. You know, the currency has been devalued. So, you know, if you have ears to hear, if you have a heart of faith, and this resonates in your soul, in your spirit, you know, like I said, I would say to you, faith builds arcs. Faith builds grain silos. Faith buys food. And then I'm big on the protection part of it. And you know, our business does sell lots and lots of stuff, and they can go and see. But I'm really big on the ability to protect your family and communication equipment and night vision. Do that so effectively. Because, again, going back to one of my earlier statements, I do not think Americans are have any clue at the level of violence that they are going to see. It's going to be violence for the sake of fun, hurting people just to see them hurt and getting pleasure out of it. All you have to read about is Dr. Mengele, the sicko in Germany. He actually got sexual pleasure from watching people tortured. I mean, that's the kind of violence I'm talking about, Dave. I hope that's okay for family radio to say things like that, but that's a matter of historical record. The level of violence coming is going to be something we do not understand. And, you know, your daddy's shotgun is not going to be sufficient to protect against it. That's why they want to take these weapons out of the hands of people, the AR-15. It is the most effective weapon at dealing with multiple intruders, multiple hostiles. It's very, very effective against it. And for the millions of AR-15s that exist in this country and the billions and billions of rounds that are in the hands of civilians, we have very little gun crime, very little. So, you know, I'm about that, even though I'll talk to anybody about retreat planning, security planning, you know, getting together a plan for your food and water for your family, you know, and send them to you, Dave, to get the food, and I'll talk to them about that. I've had a lot of experience doing those things, setting up a communication network. We've set up a lot of communication networks for churches that are worried about violence, you know, so that they can respond in a cohesive manner should somebody in the church come in and go haywire. They want to be able to, you know, end that threat very quickly. If you have a group of friends, family, you know, the communication network for that. You know, Dave, I'll just say this. For anybody who buys, we have a $449 radio package on our website. For anybody who buys that package tonight, It's Bofeng. It's an F8 radio. It's the highest wattage handheld radio you can buy, and it comes with all kinds of accessories you'll need. But I'll give two extra radios, so okay. That means you get four.
Yeah, let's talk about the importance of communication for a minute. When you look at survival plans, here's my greatest fear, Bob. I live 20 miles north of a metropolitan area, and I'm pretty isolated. Our nearest grocery store of any substance is 15 miles, 16 miles away. My fear is that my family would be scattered to the winds in a metropolitan area, and how do we reunite if communications goes down? And you can almost bet in a crisis, communications will go down.
Oh, they'll shut the cell phones off very quickly because they do not want the other side coordinating. They don't want them to be able to coordinate. And they'll shut the internet down so they can't use social media to coordinate. At that point, and I've made this statement probably 100 times on your program, ham radio is the only thing you'll have. And ham radio will probably be up for at least 2 weeks because of the benefit of just these thousands of repeaters that civilians have installed around the country. They're open to the public. You can use it. But a repeater gives me the ability to transmit my signal generally 50 to 100 miles. Most of these repeaters are battery backed up. So unless we had something like a Compton effect that burnt it out, you're going to be able to use that repeater until the battery runs dead. And even then, some of them have solar backup, so that you could keep those repeaters up for months. And if you have ham radio, the first 3 to 4 days, if you can coordinate, you're going to be exponentially better off than the person who can't. And the little radios you buy in the department store are not going to do it. I don't care what the box says. I challenge you to take them out of the box, get in your car, drive a half a mile away, and see if you can talk. And I bet you can't. Ham radio, you can, because again, you talk into a repeater that retransmits the signal out.
Bob, let me ask you some practical application questions here, okay? And
yes.
I'll think from my perspective as a citizen wanting to reunite his family. Do you recommend a ham radio for every car? And what's the typical cost involved? Is people saying, well, that could be a good idea if Bob Griswold says it is. What would it cost? So let's go there. Should we have one in every car?
Absolutely. Or every well, if you had three or four family members at one place that worked at one place and they had to get home and there was three or four family members, I'd say one for every car, yes, not one for every person. But, you know, everybody in your group has to have access to it in one way or the other. That means everybody's going to have to take the test. It's not a hard test, but everybody has to take it during an emergency, though I really wouldn't care. I do it anyhow. I'd suffer the consequences later. I'd want to reunite my family. Yes, so that would be very, very important to have it available. And it doesn't have to be that expensive. That F8 radio, one of those is $63. So you could get that. You could get an extra battery. You could get a car charger. And then you can't use the radio very well in a car because it's a big metal box. It acts like a big Faraday cage type thing, so it blocks the signal. But you can get just a little magnetic mount that you stick on your roof of your car. You can take it down when you're done. And the wire comes in through the door, it screws into the radio, and then all of a sudden, you've got yourself a pretty good set of, radio there. With that big antenna on your car, you're going to transmit pretty far.
So you could be mobile, and let's say you're looking for a way home. You're 25 miles away from home. In my instance, you might have to navigate a little bit of urban and suburban traffic, and you might be looking for obstacles for you getting home. And you could probably do a band check, am I right? And then talk to people who lie in your path and ask them what's going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can do the community service also of saying, hey, listen, there's a roadblock on Highway 22. You might want to avoid that. Yeah, there's another alternate pattern here. That's the way I'm going home. You could let other people know that. And so you definitely can pick up intel. Radio is not all about just talking. It's about intel gathering. Case in point, Dave, those little radios, the little ones I told you about that you go buy, walkie-talkie things you buy at the department store, if you are at your location, your retreat, and you're hearing people talk on those, and those radios only go a half a mile, that means you have people with radio communication within a half a mile of you. Listening to what they're talking about could be very, very important. And I've talked before about the importance of having one person in your group, one person in your family, that's kind of like an intelligence officer. That's your job now. You want to listen to these programs. You want to listen to the Hodges program. You want to listen to the Hagmans and Steve Quayle. You want to listen to those programs, and you want to start taking notes. You want to use Facebook to find out the people that are in your area that might not be very friendly. You know, they might have definitely differing views on freedom and liberty. You can use Facebook just to follow them and see what they're up to, see what they're planning, see their rallies, see who's showing up at their rallies. You might only want to go to a rally that they have to see how if they're promoting violence. That's intel gathering, and you know, that's fairly easy to do. It just takes a little forethought, and you'd be surprised if you do that a little bit. You come back and you go, oh, my gosh, again, 1 month's not going to be enough. You know, when the Jaws movie, we've got to get a bigger boat. It's going to be we got to get a bigger food supply. You know, that's what I think you'll find out pretty quickly. That a lot of these groups are very hostile to the United States. How many terrorist training camps are in this country? How many Muslim terrorist training camps are in this country that just go unabated? They just keep going on and nobody does anything to them. I mean, they're there, Dave. They're there. You know, but again, that's what you can do. So then everybody in your group, if they're within, you know, if you're using a repeater, and to find out if you have a ham radio club in your area, all you have to do is type, go on the internet, Google it, type in, you know, say, look, you live in Smith County, Arkansas. I don't know if there is such a thing, but Smith County, Arkansas. Type it in, Smith County, Arkansas, ham radio club, and see what comes up. Because most likely you're going to find out you do have a ham radio club in your area. And then contact those folks. You don't have to tell them you're a prepper, but I promise you, you'll probably find preppers there, and you'll find people that can show you a lot of neat tricks on using ham radio effectively, and it makes the learning curve a lot easier. You can usually join one of those clubs for like $10, $20 a year. So those are things that you can do, and you know, make yourself much, much in a better position to survive what's coming. And then again,
well, Bob, let me interrupt you here, because we're going to run out of time if I don't get these questions answered. Okay, so $63 a unit. What about your technical expertise? What level of technical expertise do you have to install them in your car or in your home?
I mean, nothing. It's a handheld radio. You unscrew one antenna and screw the car-mounted antenna into it. And then you have to program it. My son programs radios. If you want to buy them, and my son can program them for you and send them to you, he charges a little fee to do it. But there's a program called Chirps. Chirps like a bird. It's freeware. And all these ham radios, you get the ham radio and you get a programming cable. And you plug it into the computer and you plug it into the radio, the programming cable. You open up Chirps, you type in your zip code, it'll pull up all your repeaters, and you go copy. It'll copy all that onto your radio. So that's how hard it is to program it. Very simple.
So if I had one of these, what would my range be, my effective range? And I'm not talking mountainous terrain. Let's just say kind of open desert, okay, like where I live.
Okay. Oh, any radio is going to work off line of sight. So, it's going to hit line of sight. Here's the beauty of ham radio, is that if you ever got a ham radio repeater directory, and a repeater is nothing more than a retransmitter somebody has placed somewhere that takes a signal in and retransmits it out at a higher power. There are thousands of them around the country. That package comes with a repeater book. It's about an inch thick. It's probably 6 inches by 9 inches, and it's just little print of just thousands and thousands, and they're all divided by state and frequency, so it's easy to find ones in your area. So anywhere you go, the odds of you hitting a repeater are going to be very great, and when you hit that repeater, generally you're going to get a 50 to 100-mile footprint. So
that's
50 to 100
good.
Miles. Yeah, oh, yeah. So, yeah, it's really good. You know, if you had to bug home and you're on foot and you could hit that repeater and talk to your wife local and say, listen, hon, I'm okay, I'm going to be heading home. You know, it's going to be slow going. It might take me a week to get there, but I'm going to be there. Just how much better would your wife feel knowing that you could check in with her? And I'm on my way home, hon. Everything's okay. Or yeah, versus, nice. Where's my husband at? I don't know where he's at. Is he home? Is he dead? That's the alternate, not knowing anything. So it is command communication. That's one of it's the three C's of military doctrine. One of them is communication. That's why it's that important.
Well, Bob, what about the situation where you've got to take the test, study for the test? Let's talk about that process and how long it takes.
Most people can study within a couple weeks and pass the test. The little kit I told you we send out, we do send out the official book that has all the questions in it. It's a multiple guess test, okay? And there's 600 questions in a pool. You get like 36 of them, I think it is. And so you can go through this book. We either have it in electronic format or in a book format. You can choose which one you want. And you study. My son, 12 years old, passed it, didn't know a thing about radio. Now, he had a good, sharp, clean mind, 12 years old in LAR. He just kind of memorized 600 questions and answers. He didn't necessarily know what they all meant. But again, going back to the Ham Radio Club, a lot of them offer like a Saturday class that gets you ready for it. And usually they're free.
Where do you take the test at?
You take it at your Ham Radio Club. That's where you take it at. And so there are literally thousands and thousands of ham radio clubs around. Generally, I'd say you have one within a half an hour drive of you. I bet you have one. And so that's where you would take it. And they offer preparatory classes, and so that's what you do. It's just that simple. There's really, to me, food, water, night vision, communication, they're parallel tracks of the same train. You need the supplies, the food and the water to stay alive. You need the communication and night vision to protect yourself. I mean, just think, even the night vision. Now, all hell's broken loose. You don't want to do this normally, but I can drive down the street without my headlights on. I can turn all the lights off in my car and drive home with my night vision. It is that good. You can actually drive very effectively. It's that good. That's why we offer people, Dave, you know, anybody's mom, you have a week. You have to sign for it when you get it because it's an expensive item. And you have a week after you sign for it to say, Griswold's told me the truth, or this isn't what he said it is, and you can return it. We've had two or three people return it, and I think I was just, the wife didn't want to spend the money. But nobody returns it because when you get it and look through it, all of a sudden you realize, I can see somebody 1,000 yards away. I can clearly see 500-600 yards out.
Yeah. Well, Bob, we are out of time, so I want to make sure that we give out the website address and the phone number, and we got to do it in under 30 seconds.
Okay. ReadyMadeResources.com. One word, ReadyMadeResources.com. Phone number, 800-627-3809. Again, 800-627-3809. Dave, we've been in business 23 years. We've been helping people. Yeah. And we are glad to answer any questions you have. Don't feel like you have to buy something to ask a question.
Exactly. You are the most friendly prepper king that's out there. No question about it. Bob, thanks so much for joining us. Sorry to rush off like this, but the clock is our reality, and we'll have you back on again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.